Welcome into the PHNX D-backs podcast. As always, my name is Jesse Friedman. Today, joined by the one, the only, Sean DePaz. He's back, everyone.
The reigning defending MVP of PHNX.
There you go. There you go.
At least.
You heard it from the man himself. Derek is not with us today, unfortunately. He is actually at the celebration of life for his father, who passed away a few weeks ago. So our thoughts are with Derek and his family today as he goes through all of that. We have more to talk about today, Sean, than frankly I expected to. A lot of noise around not only the hot stove in general and baseball today, but with regard to the Diamondbacks in particular as well. So let's go ahead and jump right in. But before I do that, I do need to tell you all that this is, of course, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one rated sportsbook app. And with that said, now we can jump in. Xander Bogaerts, apparently the Diamondbacks have shown interest in the free agent shortstop, according to Jeff Passan, who included that as a very small nugget in an article he released over at ESPN Today. Of course, it blew up all over Diamondbacks Twitter, with everyone trying to figure out, Sean, why on earth are the Arizona Diamondbacks, a team not expected to expand their payroll necessarily by a whole lot next year, why are they possibly interested in a guy who's probably going to command, you know, upwards of 6 years, 160, 170, 180 million, depending on who you talk to. So not a rumor that I frankly was expecting at all. But Sean, I know you you grew up as a Red Sox fan, and you know a thing or two about Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, I mean, I think naturally, like, he's one of the best second basemen in baseball. I think generally speaking, just about any team would want a Xander Bogaerts on the roster. But I do agree, does not make a whole lot of sense to me why this team. I do think that if you could get a guy like Xander without, like, affecting the rest of your goals, right? Like, I think the bullpen has got to be their biggest point of concern, the one thing that they want to address. If you feel like you could still address that while also getting Xander Bogaerts on, like, a relatively reasonable contract, then sure. But otherwise, I don't really understand. It just seems a little unnecessary right now, especially considering the prospects that you have coming up.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And I think that's immediately what came to mind for a lot of people when they saw this is, don't the Diamondbacks have, like, the best shortstop prospect in baseball? And he's, like, potentially going to make his major league debut at the end of 2023. Doesn't necessarily feel like a great time to sign a shortstop, you know, on a 6 or 7 year contract. So yeah, I think that was kind of the initial thought that a lot of people had, which is totally fair. I do think there are probably ways around that if the Diamondbacks wanted to. Scott Boras has come out and said that Xander Bogaerts is a shortstop.
Yeah.
It seems like that's the position that he prefers. I know you have some experience watching Xander Bogaerts at third base in the past. I think he got some opportunity there back in 2014. It didn't go so well, Sean.
No, it was not great. Other than the fact that he was somewhat publicly unhappy with playing third base, like, you could see it in his stats. I mean, obviously his defensive stats weren't that great, but his bat struggled immensely. Like, it is obviously only his second year in the bigs, but it was by far his worst batting performance of any year. He batted .240 that year, and people around the Red Sox, I think, partially attributed to the fact that he was playing out of position. He was just generally was not in a good spot that year. So yeah, I don't think, especially at this point in his career, I don't think he's playing. There would be any shot of him playing third base. I think more likely would be Lawler playing third. Again, it just seems wildly unnecessary. I would like it selfishly. It would be a lot of fun. And I do think he's a good second baseman, but it just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense right now.
Yeah, the timing here, like we said, with Jordan Lawler coming up is a little bit strange. 2014 was kind of before Xander Bogaerts had really had a great year in the big league. So maybe that played into it. But yeah, I mean, like you said, it sounds like he wasn't necessarily very happy playing there. Anyway, the other fact that I think is important to bring up is that Bogaerts actually graded out quite well defensively at shortstop this past season, which is not the norm for him, at least with defensive runs saved and outs above average. If you go through some of the numbers in his career, it's really not pretty. I'm kind of surprised that he's managed to stay at shortstop for as long as he has with those numbers. But in 2022, sounds like it was a point of emphasis for him. He had four defensive runs saved plus five outs above average. Both of those are good numbers. Maybe there's a way, Sean, where, I mean, I'm not surprised at all that Scott Boras came out and said that Xander Bogaerts is a shortstop, because frankly, shortstops make the most money in the open market. And so it wouldn't be advantageous for him, regardless of what Bogaerts thinks right now, to come out and say like, oh yeah, he'll play third base, because he doesn't have as much value there. I mean, Xander Bogaerts, hit the offense is still for real. If you look at his numbers from this past season, you know, he hit 307 with a 456 slugging percentage. His on base percentage was 377, pretty good across the board, but he also only hit 15 home runs.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to have a shortstop who hits 15 home runs. It's another thing to have a third baseman who hits 15 home runs.
Yeah. I like I said, I don't think there's any situation in which he really plays third. I mean, you look at kind of the makeup of the Red Sox last year, like there was never really an opportunity for him to not play in the field. Like he just kind of had to. They don't really have another option at shortstop. And the list of people who would be a DH above him, like a Rafael Devers, who was pretty much terrible at third base defensively, and then obviously a guy like JD Martinez, who is almost exclusively a DH, like he essentially has to play the field. So I mean, it was good to see that he improved, but yeah, I would just, at this point in his career, like he's an older guy now. He's 30 now, so like 30, I don't think he's really at a point in his career where he's going to want to make a position switch like that, especially for a team that is not immediately going to be a contender. I do think that an addition of Xander Bogaerts, generally speaking, could push this team towards being a playoff team, but not a playoff team that has a real threat of winning a World Series, obviously. So I just don't, even if he did have a slightly open mind to it and would consider playing third, I think it would have to be a pretty ideal situation where he thinks he's going to have an opportunity to win a ring right away. Which again is obviously not the situation the D-backs are in right now.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing you could bring into this is that Jordan Lawler also is not necessarily locked into playing shortstop long term. Watching him play shortstop in the Arizona Fall League this past year, or this past Arizona Fall League season, he did struggle at times, which is not necessarily all that surprising. I mean, this was really his first year as a professional. So he's basically one full season removed from high school at this point. So I don't think I was necessarily expecting him to be mistake-free at shortstop. But there are some scouts and some evaluators who think that Jordan Lawler will be best served at third base in the long term. So all that to say, I think that positionally there is a way for this to make sense. However, I do have to bring up that John Gambadoro, at Gambo987 on Twitter, did sort of crush the dream just a little bit. About an hour or two before our show started, he tweeted out, it is highly unlikely that the D-backs will make a play on Bogaerts. The cost will be too high. Arizona is increasing payroll for the season, but too many needs to spend that money on one guy. You could take him off your list. I don't know if you've been following Gambo on Twitter for a while, Sean, but this is sort of like, this is very in line with the Gambo brand, right? And I love Gambo. I've gotten to know him personally a little bit. But this is these are the types of tweets he tends to put out there, right? Not just for the Diamondbacks, but for the Suns, pretty much any big name that is rumored to possibly be coming to an Arizona sports team. Gambo's the guy who goes out there and says, no, there's no way this is happening. Which makes a lot of people angry, but frankly, he does tend to be right most of the time, as far as I can tell. And even when I first saw this rumor, I don't know about you, Sean, but I was far from a place of expecting that Xander Bogaerts was going to become an Arizona Diamondback. Yeah. It kind of always felt like a bit of a long shot.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I woke up to that news this morning, I was just like, really? I mean, like, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, to the credit of a lot of D-backs fans, I think a lot of them also understand that, like, Xander Bogaerts is a very good second baseman, and sure, it would be nice to have a second baseman like that, but not necessarily for what he's going to cost and not on this timeline. Like, he just doesn't fit what the D-backs are trying to accomplish right now. And I think most people understand that. So I'm not sitting here holding my breath if it happens. it'll be cool, I guess. I don't know how excited I'll be because, again, I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense. But we'll see, I guess. If he comes to D-back, I'm buying a Xander Bogaerts D-backs jersey. I can promise you that. But I don't see it happening.
Yeah, so maybe tap the brakes here a little bit on the excitement of this actually happening. But I do think there's still something to be said for the fact that the Diamondbacks checked in, as far as we know. It was reported by Jeff Passan, who is about as reputable of a baseball writer as you'll find. So I still think it's a credible report that the Diamondbacks checked in on him. But as Gambo said, you know, maybe this is something that the Diamondbacks are ultimately priced out of when all is said and done. The other teams that were interested that Jeff Passan also mentioned are the Phillies, the Cubs, and the Dodgers, all of whom have significant money to spend this offseason, and all of whom have probably a pretty decent chance to land one of those big name shortstops at some point.
A team that could be a player like Xander Bogaerts away from winning a World Series too. Cubs excluded to a certain extent, I guess, but like,
yeah, Dodgers, I was going to say,
yeah, Dodgers, Phillies are two teams where it kind of makes sense for everybody. They obviously have the money for it. They have the space for it. Like, he obviously would be an improvement at that position for those teams. And for Xander, like, if you're leaving a team like the Boston Red Sox, you're probably doing it for a team that's better than the Boston Red Sox, because you're going to get your money. You're probably going to want to go somewhere that gives you a pretty good chance at winning a ring. Arizona's not that again. It's going to be very interesting to see where he is. Again, this is a player that I have a soft spot for, that I is probably my favorite Boston Red Sox, or former Boston Red Sox now, it seems. But we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, it was interesting to me that when Trevor Story came to the Boston Red Sox, that they stuck with Bogaerts at shortstop, and Trevor Story wound up playing exclusively second base this last year. Bogaerts wound up playing exclusively shortstop. I might have, like you maybe alluded to earlier, I might have had those guys switched around. But yeah, I mean, the point is that Bogaerts' market is very, very strong. Yeah. I saw some other tweets out there today. I think it was maybe Buster Olney who said that Xander Bogaerts' market is going to be strong because a lot of teams are in on him. The fact that, you know, 30 years old is not as young as some of the other shortstops that are out there in the market, but it's still not that old. And the fact that Bogaerts is about as steady of a player as you'll find in baseball. I mean, if you look at his numbers, like year after year after year after year, it's like Bogaerts has almost never had a down season since the initial hiccups coming into the league. And he's also been a very durable player. If you go through the number of games that he's played every year, it's pretty much always in the 150s. He hasn't really had any major injuries to this point in his career. So there's certainly a lot to like there. It seems like the Diamondbacks are probably not the team for him when all is said and done. But it's a situation that we'll certainly continue to monitor. Something else that stuck out to me, Sean, in this article from Jeff Passan, which a lot of people, I haven't really seen anyone bring this up yet. And maybe I'm reading too much into the wording here. I'm curious what you think. Jeff Passan wrote this. He's talking about how things are going to pick up at the winter meetings and how this year's winter meetings could be potentially just sort of like a frenzy of moves, how there could be a lot of things happening. And so he wrote this about the outfield market in particular. He said the outfield shuffle could accelerate when Arizona moves one of its young left-handed hitters, not Corbin Carroll, though. And then he talks about the St. Louis Cardinals possibly offloading some as well. So he specifies that Corbin Carroll is not on the table, which we've known for a while now. No surprises there. But I don't know, Sean, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I just couldn't get it out of my head that he said the outfield shuffle could accelerate when Arizona moves one of its young left-handed hitters, not if. What do we think here?
I mean, I don't know. It could most certainly be like a win because he knows, or just a win based on the kind of the assumption that I think a lot of D-backs fans are making. Just there is a surplus there and teams are going to come calling. And there's probably talk amongst other GMs that, like, you know, if there's a team you're going to go and try and get a young outfielder from, it's probably going to be a team like the D-backs who have that surplus. So I don't know. Passan doesn't strike me as the kind of person who chooses words willy-nilly. Like, I think he probably he chooses his words on purpose. But again, I think this is kind of the assumption that I have been operating under is that they are going to trade one of these guys, and it's not going to be Corbin Carroll. So it does just kind of see. I already thought it was a matter of time. But
yeah,
this definitely makes me feel a little more sure that one of these guys is not going to be on this roster come the start of the season. So we'll see who it is. But again, it's nice to see that it's been pretty clear that it is not going to be Corbin Carroll, which I think we all could have assumed.
Yeah, that's been reported by a few different people at this point. And frankly, I think Diamondbacks fans would riot. I don't really even care what the return is for Corbin Carroll. I think a lot of people would be grumpy if the Diamondbacks decided to move on from a guy who was as good as he was toward the end of the year and will probably go into next year as the favorite for the Rookie of the Year, possibly. I mean, he gave no doubt in the month plus that we saw of him. He gave no doubt that he could be every bit as good as we thought that he might be. So that's certainly something to watch going into next season. But a lot of movement. The winter meetings is only a few days away now. We are 5 days away from the start of the winter meetings. Yours truly will be out there in San Diego bringing you the scoops on the daily. So be sure to give me a follow on Twitter at Jesse N. Friedman. Follow us on Twitter at @PHNX_DBacks as well. We'll be posting a lot of content there while I'm at the winter meetings. We'll try to get all of the scoops to you as soon as we possibly can get them. Also on the front of the Diamondbacks trading an outfielder, I actually wrote an article yesterday about the possibilities of which outfielder the Diamondbacks might be looking to trade. That's a question that we've gotten so many times on Mailbag Monday the last few weeks, even longer than that, really, at this point. And so I just figured I would write everything out, my full thoughts on everything relating to which outfielder the Diamondbacks might be looking to deal. So be sure to check that out over on our website at gophnx.com. If you haven't become a diehard yet, Sean, I don't know what people are waiting for if they haven't, but you probably should get after that if you have not already. That article that I wrote yesterday is free, as the majority of our articles on our website are, but we save the best ones for the diehards. Oh, yeah. And I'll have my weekly full count newsletter, which is exclusively for diehards, coming out tomorrow. So if you want access to that and newsletters from Craig Morgan, Gerald Bourget, and Howard Balzer as well, who covers the Cardinals for us, does a great job over at gophnx.com. Be sure to become a diehard. Also, it's unfortunate if you missed out on our cyber weekend sales at the PHNX locker, because they were extraordinary. But even if you missed out, there are a few items that frankly weren't on sale to begin with because everybody wants them. I think they're probably going to sell no matter what. So we just released some new hoodies, which you can find over at the PHNX locker. You're not missing anything out. You're not missing out on anything if you go buy a hoodie from the PHNX locker right now. So be sure to do that if you have not already.
I'm a huge hoodie guy, Jesse. I'm a huge hoodie guy.
It's hoodie season officially.
Today was perfect. Today was perfect shorts with hoodie weather. Perfect shorts with hoodie weather.
There you go. Be sure to check out phnxlocker.com if you have not already. And you can find all of those great deals over there. Sticking with the hot stove here, Sean, this is maybe not quite to the level that the Xander Bogaerts rumors were. But we do have some things that have come out that are tangentially related to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I'm going to start with the news that former Diamondbacks legend Shelby Miller, in the latest edition of the Shelby Miller saga, he is now a Los Angeles Dodger, Sean. How do we feel?
I mean, not good. I just, you don't like seeing anybody go to the Dodgers, right? Because it's, if there's any team that's going to turn somebody into like a star out of nowhere, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers. Plus, I just want players to leave. I hate the Dodgers. Even before I was a D-backs fan, I hated the Dodgers because they stole Mookie Betts from me. And by stole Mookie Betts from me, I mean the Red Sox willingly traded him to the Los Angeles Dodgers. But I don't feel good about it. Like Hakeem said in the comments, watch, he's going to win the Cy Young. And it just would be so on brand for the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, yes, not great about it.
I'm not so sure about the Cy Young, given that I don't think Shelby Miller will ever start a game for the Dodgers. He would really have to have a heck of a season as a reliever to be in the Cy Young conversation when all is said and done. But I will say that I kind of love the move for them. Think Shelby Miller, he literally made four appearances this past season in the big leagues. He was good in AAA. Which he's done off and on over the past few years. So that wasn't necessarily a huge surprise. But when he got to the big leagues, he actually looked really good. He looked really good against the Diamondbacks in particular. I think it was the game that we did, that we had like our little get together with our PHNX D-backs crew. Some of you in the audience today, I think were there, and we watched this game, and Shelby Miller was just lights out. I think it was 2 2/3 scoreless innings. I don't think he gave up a hit. He had 7 strikeouts, I want to say. He struck out like almost every batter he faced.
Yep, 2 2/3, 4 hits, 7 strikeouts.
No okay, order. So it was 4 hits. It was 4 hits. So the D-backs knocked him around a little bit, but he only made 4 appearances this year with the San Francisco Giants. But all of them were pretty eye-popping, except for the last one. He kind of got shelled in San Diego, or against San Diego, I believe. Yeah. Shelby Miller is not the guy that he once was. His pitching arsenal in particular is very, very different. From what you probably remember from his days as a Diamondback, we have a little illustration here that shows that Shelby Miller is, in fact, not the same guy that he once was. So this is basically looking at all of the different pitches that Shelby Miller has thrown over the years and the percentage that he has used each pitch. You can see, Sean, he has dramatically simplified things. He is now all the way far to the right here on the graph. You can see he is now just throwing a 4-seam fastball and a slider. And that slider is a new pitch for him within the last couple of years. He didn't even throw a slider back when he was with the Diamondbacks. But if you remember his cutter, his sinker, his curveball, he fooled around with a changeup a little bit at times. All of those pitches have gone by the wayside, and he's really simplified things down. And it seems to have been the right move for him.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of go that way with relievers anyways. Like I'm comfortable with them just having one or two pitches they can just dominate. The variation in how he's used his fastball over the years is wild to me. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how he plays out. Someone in the comments did mention that Corbin Carroll does need somebody to hit the division clinching home run off of. So I guess it makes sense that he goes to the Dodgers, because it's in the stars for Corbin.
There you go. It is inevitable that Corbin Carroll will hit a division-winning walk-off home run at some point in the 2023 season. And who better to hit it off than Shelby Miller himself? I've kind of looked at Shelby Miller, honestly, coming into this this offseason as a good buy-low candidate for any team, including possibly the Diamondbacks, although I think that might have been a bit of an odd fit, just given how much things fell apart the last time he was here. He's not the same guy that he was before. And unfortunately, Sean, for Diamondbacks fans, if there's any team that can help him kind of put things together and figure it all out, the Dodgers have a long track record of being able to do this.
Yeah, like I said, it would be joked about the Cy Young thing, but like to turn like the jump from what he is now to being like a very legitimate serviceable reliever who gives the D-backs trouble on a few occasions it seems like a very realistic possibility considering the franchise he now plays for. So hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully it just doesn't make that big a difference, but I would have felt comfortable with him going to just about any other team.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think that's kind of how you feel with most free agents as long as they don't go to the Dodgers, then maybe you're all right. But the Dodgers have just been so incredibly good at taking like no name relievers and turning them into, you know, like the guy that every single team in the league would want for their closer. But he's like pitching in the 6th inning or something for the Dodgers because they have that much depth. It's just kind of ridiculous what the Dodgers have managed to do with their bullpen. It's a $1.5 million deal. So they didn't really have to put up much of an investment. I do think there are some incentives built into there as well. But it will be interesting to see what Shelby Miller looks like coming back next year, trying to put things all back together, really, for the first time since leaving the D-backs back in 2018. The other news that came out yesterday, Sean, is that Stone Garrett has found a new home. No surprises here that it didn't take very long. I mean, when a guy comes up and, you know, hits 28 home runs in the minors and in 100 games, and then comes up and has an 850-ish OPS like he did for the Diamondbacks in his first taste of the big leagues, you're going to, you know, you're not going to have that hard of a time finding a job when you hit the open market. So Stone Garrett lands with the Washington Nationals. Sean, what's your perspective on just Stone Garrett and the fact that the Diamondbacks let him go and allowed him to get to this point in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for Stone, first off, and I'm glad that it's on the other side of the country, in the conference or in the league still, I guess, but the other side of the country. But I mean, it's tough. I think they were kind of playing with like found money in Stone, right? Like they never, he didn't sign a guy like Stone with the expectation that he was necessarily going to be like a full-time big leaguer. So it is what it is. I am sad, right? Like I was a fan of Stone, but it's just like, there's so much other things that I'm kind of concerned about with this team that losing Stone Garrett is kind of at the bottom of my priority list, I guess, but it's still sad.
Sure.
I would have liked, he was a face that he was part of what made the D-backs so fun last year. And to have a guy like that not here anymore is sad, but I guess you kind of have to get used to that, because like we talked about, you're probably going to lose another one of these young outfielders. So it's just kind of the nature of a rebuilding team. You can't get too attached to anybody too fast.
Josh Hunt says, I am stone cold sad. Brian Abdallah says, now Stone will get national attention. I guess that's a pun.
But
it'll be interesting to see Stone Garrett with the Washington Nationals and what he's able to do. The D-backs, as we've talked about, were concerned about how much he was striking out and how little he was walking. His strikeout rate was basically the highest on the Diamondbacks of anyone who had a significant number of plate appearances last year. And his walk rate was basically the lowest. So you can understand why there would be some concerns there, despite, you know, the 850 OPS and the fact that he really knocked the cover off the ball when he first got called up. It is good to see for him, though, just that the Washington Nationals, frankly, have way more just openness in their roster. They really can give Stone Garrett the opportunity to be an everyday guy. And I think even for D-backs fans, like that's something that people probably want to see, right? Even if it's not in Arizona and there's some sadness that comes along with that. If Stone Garrett, you know, is an everyday player for the Washington Nationals and is able to contribute in a meaningful way for them, that's probably a pretty great outcome for everyone involved.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Like, it's not like, and I mean, D-backs fans still generally, like, obviously root for Paul Goldschmidt, but it's not like you're losing an MVP caliber candidate. So it's, I think, a little easier to swallow, like, him going to play somewhere else that, again, is not in the division and easy to root for his success. Plus, it's not like the Nationals, at least as far as I'm concerned, are like an unlikable team. Like, I feel like they're a relatively likable franchise, more or less. And, like, they have the best City Connect jerseys in the league, in my opinion. Sorry, the Serpientes jerseys, but the Cherry Blossom jerseys are so good. But yeah, no, I feel like you got to kind of be happy for him. You just got, especially considering his story and everything, like, you're just happy to see a guy like that continue his professional career at all, regardless. I mean, honestly, even if he was a Dodger, I'd still have a soft spot for him. So it's cool. I'm rooting for him for sure. Up until the point where obviously the Nationals play the D-backs in the NLCS.
Sure.
And I got to root for his failure. But up until that point, I'll root for him and I'll root for the Nationals.
Well, I think Stone Garrett would have had quite a monster season if the Washington Nationals wind up in the NLCS.
Rookie of the year.
So, that would really dig something with the roster that the Nationals have. Although the Nationals, they're kind of an up and coming team. They've netted quite a few big name prospects over the last few years by trading away like every big name talent they've had. So there's certainly some hope in Washington, D.C. Hopefully Stone Garrett can become a part of that at some point. It's just good to see him, you know, in a place where he really has an opportunity. Even if the Diamondbacks had kept him here, it would have been really hard for him to find consistent playing time, I think, in Arizona. So I do really view this as being a win all the way around. Sean, I can't be at the office today. Unfortunately, I'm still getting over my sickness, but is it safe to say people are watching this, this World Cup game over there, Mexico? Mm-hmm. I believe it's currently happening. Yes.
Yeah, I was out there watching it before I came in here. Yeah. Argentina and Saudi Arabia and Mexico and Saudi Arabia and Argentina and Poland are right now. So two big games, but yeah, Mexico game is huge. Doing a watch party as we speak right now at Four Peaks. It's a good time to be a sports fan. I love the World Cup.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
As I talked about yesterday, it has sort of grown on me just a little bit, despite my initial hatred and the fact that I've never been particularly entertained by soccer. Maybe some of you can relate. I think there is some truth to the fact that there's a reason that, you know, everyone in the world is watching these games right now. And everyone in the world should be at Four Peaks, because they have done an absolutely outstanding job hosting all of these watch parties for all of the U.S. and Mexico games. This is another big one happening right now, as you mentioned, Mexico and Saudi Arabia. Another match day watch along with our friends over at Four Peaks. They have a 22-foot screen that we like to take advantage of with a number of different watch parties. It's a good time over at Four Peaks. There's really no better place to take in a local sporting event. So be sure to check one of those out if you have not already. Of course, it was a big game yesterday as well, with the USA beating Iran. Sean was, I assume that was also a big event around the office. Everyone's talking about the World Cup game.
Oh yeah. We were all hanging around. It was a big win. Got a little nervous there at the end. It was a little too close for comfort, but USA got their win, and now they get to play Netherlands. Which, if you don't know, is one of the best teams in the country or in the world. So that's going to be interesting. But hey, they got out of the group stages. That's all I was really hoping for.
So that means we have more. That means we have more watch parties at Four Peaks. Then
we have at least one. At least one with this one, and potentially more depending on how this Mexico game goes.
So yeah. So be sure to get out there and check that out. If you haven't been to one of those already, like I said, there is really no way, no better way to watch one of these games than over with our friends at Four Peaks. They have beer specials, giveaways, all of the incredible things that you could possibly want. And we'll continue to be monitoring that Mexico game, because that has a lot of significance in its own right as well. Someone asked in the comments if we already talked about Xander. We did. That was like the first part of the show. Maybe we'll revisit a little bit of that toward the end of the show. Obviously, that's the biggest topic of the day. But before we get to that potentially one more time, I do want to talk about the fact that we are about to have the first ever MLB draft lottery. There has literally never been an MLB draft lottery, because Major League Baseball has not had a lottery. Generally, they just use basically the reverse standings in order to determine the order of the first year player draft every year. That has changed now with the new CBA. We now have a lottery system where the three worst teams in baseball all have an equal shot at getting the number one overall pick. This, of course, in a way to try to bring a little bit of try to prevent tanking, frankly, try to keep those bottom teams from just trying to lose all of their games to get that number one overall pick. Obviously, this is something that's been used in other sports, Sean. Not necessarily a huge surprise to see baseball moving in this direction.
Yeah, no, I go back and forth on it a little bit, because for the most part, obviously, baseball is not a sport where there's like a consensus number one, or not necessarily not a consensus, but like just because you drafted first overall doesn't mean you're going to be a great player necessarily, that you're going to make the bigs. Which is not necessarily, like, you look at a sport like hockey, I think they, obviously that's the case sometimes, but sometimes you also get like generational talents who are pretty obviously going to be contributors in the at a high level. So I go back and forth. I do think with baseball, like, owners have the ability to influence, I think, the team more than just about any sport. Like, they can just kind of decide not to spend the money on a team and not really put them. So I like it for that respect. Like, I think it might discourage teams a little bit from tanking, obviously. Like, that's the goal. But I don't think, like, just because, again, obviously depends on the year, but just because you get the first or second or third pick, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, one of those is better than the other. It's not a sure thing. So I kind of go back. I don't know how much of an effect it's going to have, but I guess generally speaking, I lean in favor of draft lotteries. I think it ultimately does more good than it does bad, but I don't know how much of an impact it really has either way. So
yeah,
I'm kind of indifferent towards it.
Yeah, I feel pretty much the same way. You know, it's something that you can do to try to prevent tanking. Whether it really impacts how teams are performing at the end of the day, it's a little bit hard to say. This does have some ramifications for the Diamondbacks in that they have a shot at the number one overall pick, technically. We have a graphic that just kind of shows all of the different odds for all of the teams. And if this is on your phone, I'm sorry, because these numbers are probably way too small for you to possibly see. But the Arizona Diamondbacks have a 1.4% chance of landing the number one overall pick in the draft. They also have a shot, slightly higher shot, at getting picks 2 through 6. If you add all those numbers together, I would come up with 12.5%. That's their chance of landing one of the top 6 picks in the draft, which is, I mean, 12% is something that at least could feasibly happen. The most likely outcome is for them to land at number 11. There's a 54.9% chance of that. There's also a 29% chance of them slipping to number 12. So yeah, it's interesting how this system works. D-backs have a chance of getting picks 1 through 6. Somehow, for some reason, it is not possible for them to get picks 7 through 10. So it's sort of like if they don't get picks 1 through 6, they're probably going to land at number 11 or possibly fall to number 12.
Yeah. Yeah, first off, I feel like producer Leo must be having war flashbacks to the NHL draft lottery. But yeah, I don't fully understand the kind of setup here. Like you said, there's no possibility for them to get 7 through 10, which is a little interesting to me. But I think that part is cool about draft lotteries, is having these teams who are not necessarily bad, or not bad, but they're not like, you know, a bottom three team in the league. They have an opportunity to get the first overall pick, and I think that can accelerate like a middling team. Not necessarily, I wouldn't call the D-backs middling. Obviously, there's been progression, but a team that finished in the middle of the pack to kind of just accelerate their rebuild a little bit. So that's cool. Obviously, selfishly, like as a D-backs fan and as a reformed Red Sox fan, like both of those teams have an opportunity at the first overall pick, and like yeah. If your team, you go into a draft, you had no expectation of the first overall pick, and then all of a sudden you get it, like, oh, okay, like that's a lot of fun. So it's cool for that reason. Obviously, if I'm the worst team in baseball and I'm a fan of the worst team in baseball and we get gypped out of the first overall pick, I would not be happy about that. So obviously
yeah.
no one's going to be pleased, which I think is ultimately the biggest negative to a draft lottery, is that someone is ultimately going to get, like, from a fan perspective, someone's getting screwed over because the fans weren't sitting here trying to tank, and now they had to sit through their team being the worst just for them to get the third overall pick. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Leah furiously nodding her head behind the Mac, as Coyotes fans can relate to this. So I go back and forth. But hey, if the D-backs get the first overall draft pick, I will be the biggest proponent of the draft lottery you will find on this planet.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about, like, well, so obviously the Diamondbacks were close to the first overall pick a year ago, yeah. Right? They wound up with the number 2 overall pick, and that was only because Josh Van Meter hit a walk-off home run on the last day of the 2021 season, and ultimately that was the difference between getting the number 2 pick and the number 1 pick. But it got me thinking of, like, how would this have changed things for the D-backs if a year ago this system had been in place, and rather than the D-backs being locked in at number 2, maybe it was, you know, maybe it was them and a couple other teams who had equal odds at the first overall pick and equal odds at the third overall pick, right? There's also a chance that it could move you down instead of moving you up in that situation. So I don't know, Sean, it was kind of an interesting thought experiment of what it would have been like for the D-backs. I don't know if they get Drew Jones at number 3. If they had wound up at number 3, obviously it wouldn't have really made much of a difference for them at number 1. It sounds like they would have taken Drew Jones anyway, but sort of an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, and again, to bring up the Coyotes, they were in that exact situation. Second worst team in hockey, ended up with the third overall draft pick, and it, I guess, ultimately worked out. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to get into the depths of
they
hockey.
Probably would have picked the same guy.
Yeah, exactly.
They picked at three, so it worked out. Okay. But this upcoming NHL draft is like one of the best ever. So they have to land in the top three. And if they don't, it'll be very
upsetting. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, with the Coyotes last year, you can argue that if they had gotten the first pick, it might have been worse for them because they might have felt the pressure to draft Shane Wright, who ended up falling the fourth.
I don't think they would have.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have ended up drafting Logan Cooley regardless. But still, like you, it takes that decision away from you a little bit, I guess.
Jesse, the Coyotes have never moved up a spot in a draft lottery ever. And the NHL has been doing the draft lottery since like 2005.
Hey, but if there's
they've
a year,
never moved up. They've either stayed or fallen.
If there's a year, Uncle Gary Bettman is going to call in the fix. So yeah, and that's also another thing. Sports fans are, I think, kind of naturally conspiracy theorists to a certain extent.
Oh, yeah.
And with the draft, you're going to open up a new Pandora's box of this envelope was cold, was frozen,
when
the
Rangers won a few years ago, and then also the Edmonton Oilers won it like 3 years in a row. Sorry, yeah. We're gonna get
over the Buffalo Sabres.
The draft lottery is. Really brings up. A lot for me.
So I mean, that is a really interesting dynamic to this. I think is that you. Fans are naturally going to start questioning the legitimacy of the MLB when things don't go their way and in a weird way, right? Like if all of a sudden, you know, a big market team is near as like the third worst team and they all of a sudden end up with the first overall draft pick over a team like the Diamondbacks or a team like the Rays or like a small market team, quote unquote small market team, like people are going to start naturally asking questions. So the MLB has kind of opened themselves up to that. But again, I understandably so. Like there's obviously an understandable reason for why they would do it. So it's going to be interesting to see how it affects Major League Baseball in the coming years.
If I'm not mistaken, the Suns don't have a great track record with the draft lottery either. I know they got Ayton. That was the 1 year where they did get the number one overall pick. But I want to say there were a few years in the past where like mathematically they had a better chance to be higher than they wound up.
Right. Yeah, it sounds right. But and again, the Suns are an interesting example too, because they drafted DeAndre Ayton and now you have people questioning whether or not they made that right choice. And if you lose the lottery, like the Coyotes, for example, obviously there's still room for that because of Shane Wright falling, blah, blah, blah. But like you get that pressure taking off of you. And from a GM's perspective, you kind of, there's no room for fans later on to be like, why would you draft this guy? Their hand was kind of forced because they were pushed down to the third pick. So it's very interesting. I think it changes a lot for the league and for GMs and just kind of how fans view them and just the way they kind of all interact. I think it's going to be a very interesting, or at least potentially for a very interesting dynamic. It could ultimately just end up being chalk and just everyone getting the pick they deserve. And then it's boring, but we'll see, I guess.
I feel like if the Diamondbacks like land the number one overall pick or something, it's probably going to make, I don't know, maybe that changes the course of like draft lotteries in Arizona, you know, with the Suns and the Coyotes not getting great results.
Can bust the curse. I will take it. Or if they can steal the Coyotes' bad luck and then the Coyotes can just like, the D-backs want to get screwed over in this draft. Not like they were a first overall pick team anyway, so I'll take it.
Before we go, I feel the need to mention that Zach Gallen has put out a very mysterious tweet that some of you have talked about in the chat. It's just the four little eye emojis, and I don't have any firm information on what this is about. People are wondering if potentially he's going to play in the World Baseball Classic. Which as of now, he has not been named part of that team. Other people are wondering if he's signing an extension with the Diamondbacks, but this is all pure speculation at this point. So be sure to come back and join us tomorrow. We'll be live at 1 p.m. once again, and hopefully we have a little bit more clarity on the Zach Gallen situation that we can shed at that point. If you joined us during the midway part of this show and you're wondering where all the Xander Bogaerts chatter was, we talked about him for probably the first 15 or 20 minutes of this episode, so be sure to go back and check that out. We can just kind of close with some final thoughts on that, I guess, Sean. Again, with something we don't really expect to come to fruition, and not something I really expected to come to fruition when I first saw the rumor either. I just think it's interesting that the Diamondbacks did check in at the very least. That's not necessarily saying a lot, but the other teams that were mentioned along with them are teams that seem to be likely to spend a lot of money this offseason. So just the fact that the Diamondbacks were kind of willing to venture in there and, you know, maybe just see what some of the numbers look like. At the end of the day, I think Xander Bogaerts is probably going to be just a little bit too expensive for the Diamondbacks when all is said and done.
Yeah. Again, like I said, it is one of those things that would be really cool. It would be fun. I don't think anyone's going to complain about having a player of that caliber on the roster, but people might be complaining about how much money they had to spend to get him there and at what point in their rebuild they spent that kind of money. So it would be fun. I would buy the jersey, but it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense for this team. So I wouldn't be holding my breath if I was a D-backs fan.
Yeah, and when all is said and done, the D-backs don't necessarily have the best of track records with some of the longer, more expensive contracts. I don't know if this team is really at the stage yet where I think they should be, you know, kind of pushing all the chips in and making that move. Bogaerts is a compelling player. I think he's a pretty big get for whoever winds up with him. But there is a lot of risk in, you know, going out and getting a 30-year-old. Some of his power numbers this last year dipped a little bit. I think there are maybe some reasons to be somewhat concerned moving forward that at some point maybe he kind of has to play third base, but his bat doesn't really play there anymore come a few years. So if the Diamondbacks don't wind up with Xander Bogaerts, suffice it to say, it might not be the worst thing in the world when all is said and done. But that is all that we have for you here today. Thank you once again, Sean, for hopping on with us. You continue to impress, and the people seem to like you around here. So we'll keep inviting you on every now and then. You can find Sean DePaz on Twitter at Sean_DePaz. You can find me at Jesse N. Friedman. Be sure to give us a follow on Twitter for our show account at PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads lead to at PHNX_sports on Twitter. And that's also on Instagram and Facebook as well. If you haven't already, be sure to drop a like here on this video on YouTube. If you're joining us live, we always really appreciate that. It boosts the YouTube algorithm and just shows our video to more people. So we always appreciate that. And be sure to subscribe on YouTube as well as on your favorite podcast app. Maybe even leave us a 5-star review if you think that Sean is worthy of a 5-star review, which I happen to think that he probably is. And if you don't, you're a hater. Absolutely. So we would really appreciate it if you would be able to do that. But once again, thank you all for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time. We'll be sure to keep you posted on all of these rumors surrounding the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll talk about some relievers on the show tomorrow. I know that's something we didn't quite get to today. But until then, thanks again for hopping on with us today. We really appreciate it. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you show interest in Xander Bogaerts.